Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on NBCSportsCalifornia.com. Introducing your host, Oakland Raiders Insider, Scott Baer.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Raiders Insiders Podcast. I am Scott Baer, Raiders Insider. Raiders reporter Josh Schrock, who is a draft insider, knows an encyclopedia of knowledge about all positions. And today we're going to mine that knowledge to get inside in depth on the cornerback position, which is, in my opinion, and probably yours, a pressing need. Do you think that this is a moment that they really have to take advantage of and add another player to this position group?
Yeah, I do. I think with the Eli Apple thing falling through, they don't have a guy, in my opinion, that they can throw out there. I don't think you want to go in with Isaiah Johnson or Nevin Lawson being the go-to guy opposite Trayvon Mullen. They're nice depth pieces, but you can't just have a zero there right now.
Yeah, and it seems more and more likely that the Raiders really want Demarius Randall, who has some versatility at that free safety spot, paired with Jonathan Abram. That's what I've heard. It's kind of become not a very well-kept secret that's where he's going to go, but they could bring him down to play corner. That said, given the state of where they're at, let's put Trayvon Mullen on Mullen Island, as he likes to call it. And he's kind of a given as a starter.
Yeah.
When you look at a guy like Isaiah Johnson, what do you think about him? His rookie season was essentially lost because he suffered a concussion and a facial fracture in the first preseason game. He was designated to return, and he did return, but he was behind.
Right.
So what did you think about him coming out of the draft? This is a converted wide receiver out of the University of Houston. What were your thoughts coming into the draft and then after you saw him a little bit in training camp before he got hurt?
Yeah, I mean, coming out of college, he's a long, rangy, athletic guy. Like you said, he was a recent transition, so really raw coverage skills, good kind of depth of understanding of route trees. But, I mean, needed to work on technique, I thought, in camp, and I think John Green and Paul Gunther kind of alluded to that. They were planning on bringing him along very slowly, and it's going to be even probably slower now that he basically is going back to year one now in year two.
Would you say that, and I'm trying to think about this as I'm asking this question about where I stand on it, but is Nevin Lawson, he has 50-plus starts, zero interceptions, but 50-plus starts, a lot of experience. Let's say things don't go right for the cornerback spot. Would I feel comfortable starting Nevin Lawson 3 downs per game in the system that they like to run, or is he a good veteran backup? I think I would be a little bit nervous to start him for 16 games.
Yeah, I would agree. I think he's, like you said, he's a good depth piece. He's a good guy to have that, you know, if someone goes down, he can play. But I don't think they want to go with Nevin Lawson being their number two starter.
And if we're going to rank these guys, and I'm not talking about the guys on the practice squad like Dylan Maben or something like that, but I think in terms of how the Raiders view it, I think they really like Isaiah Johnson.
Yeah.
I think Keyshawn Nixon forced his way into special teams and he proved that he can compete at this level. I think he's a number two. And I would almost put Nevin Lawson off to the side that I think he's like only break glass in case of emergency right. option there. Yeah. But I do think Isaiah over Keyshawn at this point, but given everything that we've said, there's zero injury protection, right?
Yeah.
So I think additions in terms of whether this need is pressing or not, I think it really is. I think it needs to be addressed. I think it needs to be addressed high. I know there's a lot of talk about a defensive tackle. They could sure use one. But in terms of making the 2020 Raiders better, I think they need to go out and get a top-tier cornerback in this draft.
Yeah, I would agree. I think almost like discussing wide receivers, they probably need to maybe address it twice, maybe once in the draft, maybe spend a little on free agency if they have a little bit left. We'll talk about that later, but it's a huge need now, especially when Eli Apple falling through. It's massive.
All right, well, let's dive into it. Let's get our hands dirty when it comes to this draft class of cornerbacks that has a couple of elite prospects, has a lot of good, there's a lot of depth in terms of press man coverage guys. That's what the Raiders like to do. At the top of this class, undisputed, Ohio State's Jeff Okudah, clearly there. You wrote something interesting that I think people are going to agree or disagree with you, but I thought it was a good rational argument about why the Raiders maybe should go up and trade for a guy like the former Buckeye who's never going to make it to when the Raiders pick at 12. Yeah. Never, never, never. Could be gone as early as 3. Can't see him making it past, what, 5 to 7 at probably maximum.
Seven. Yeah,
7, yeah. So kind of sum up why you think that the Raiders should at least be considering a trade up. They have the picks to do it. They have the ammo, but should they pull the trigger there?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, you know me, normally I'm the guy who's saying, don't do it. You got a lot of needs, keep the first round picks. But I think in this draft, there are 4 guys for sure that are locks to be stars. Mm-hmm. Okudah, Isaiah Simmons, Chase Young, Joe Burrow, right at Nink. Jeff Okudah could be a Pro Bowler in year 2, an All-Pro in year 3. He's Jalen Ramsey. He's Stephon Gilmore. The only knock on him is he didn't get enough interceptions because people didn't throw at him. Mm-hmm. That's just how good he is. So I think, especially if the Lions trade out of 3 because there's going to be a run on quarterbacks and maybe Okudah falls to 6 or 7, mm-hmm. and you can pull that trigger. I mean, you're going to get a guy. You're going to have a secondary of Jeff Okudah, Trayvon Mullen, Jonathan Abram. That's pretty good, right?
Right.
And you can address the defensive line later, having linebacker and secondary basically sewed up. And I think he's so good, I don't see any way he's not a star if he stays healthy.
And see, now that I was coming into this ready to fight, to be honest with you, because I think a trade up to 3 would be really hard.
Yeah.
And may even cost some 2021 draft capital in order to get that done. That seems steep to me because it seems like with the Lions trading Darius Slay, that if the Lions were going to stay there, that's a natural spot. Yeah. But if you can kind of watch the draft board and keep your mind open, if he happens to slip a little bit, especially like you said, with all these tackle hungry teams at the top and quarterbacks becoming such a premium, if he slips, maybe you could get away with not having to mortgage your future draft assets, and then you can go up and get him. Now, when it comes to, I'm weighing it out as I'm talking. I still have a tough time with it, though, because they really need a wide receiver.
They do.
Desperately, and they could use that second first-round pick to add 2, in theory, instant impact players as opposed to getting just 1. Although I think the Ravens GM said earlier this morning, we are talking on a Thursday here, that you could find impact wide receivers in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th round. So
that was going to be my point, is that I was looking at in writing the Okudah thing and the thing I wrote today, the past 4 years, first and second team All-Pro corners, only 2 were drafted not in the first round.
Really?
That's Richard Sherman and AJ Bouye.
And that's fascinating because I did a deep dive in like into the wide receivers over the last 5 years.
Right.
And there's only 1 Pro Bowler drafted in the first round, and that's Amari Cooper. And really him and Carolina's DJ Moore are the only guys that you would really consider kind of top tier type of players.
Right.
So it is the opposite there, that maybe you do need to expel first round draft capital to get that premium cornerback. And maybe you could get a wide out later.
Right.
Blows my mind. If you go back to I won't get too far down this tangent, but the 2017 draft class was garbage in the first round.
Yeah.
And then it was Michael Thomas in the second and Cooper Kupp and just a litany of quality guys down in the second and the 3rd rounds. Let's not get too far down that road though. So we have Okudah, right? That you would be willing to give up draft capital to get. And then there's kind of like a drop, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's Florida CJ Henderson, which seems to, if you look at your mock draft and some others, you see CJ Henderson could fall into the Raiders' lap at number 12.
Yes.
If that happens, and everything we're talking about first round cornerbacks generally being worth the selection.
Yeah.
Is that the pick at 12?
It's tough. We're going to talk about this tomorrow, I know, in our back and forth. But I'm going to say no, just because I think the difference between, if they stay at 12, right, we're talking there's no trade, they have 12 and 19. I think the gap between CJ Henderson and the next three corners is a lot smaller than the gap between the top three wideouts and the next four.
Mm-hmm. I mean, CJ Henderson, from what I'm reading, is really that he's a really competitive guy, that he does have some tackling issues, right? Maybe he doesn't play the best run defense, but the guy can cover, he cares, he's long, he's built like a Raiders cornerback. And I don't know, is that the last plug-and-play guy or guaranteed plug-and-play guy if that's what you really need? But I guess the Raiders could go out and sign a veteran on the back end. But I sort of think, gosh, maybe CJ Henderson is that guy. Again, it's about that coach hubris that they think that they can teach him to be tougher if a guy has the right work ethic and commitment. And that's one of those things where in this losing so much of this pre-draft process, maybe a scout could have gone to Florida, stared him in the eyes, and figured out how bad he really wanted it. That's not something that they have this year. So you say no, don't take Henderson. I'd want to see how many receivers are off the board at that point, but I would strongly consider it because really that's the guy at 12. You wouldn't reach for any of the other first-round caliber cornerbacks, right?
No.
Now we're talking about 19 and a possible trade down of this next tier, guys that are considered first round options. Which one is your favorite and why?
Sure. Yeah. I'll give you two. They're kind of tied. First, Christian Fulton out of LSU. When he faced Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, and T. Higgins, all guys who are probably going to go in the first round, he gave up 3 catches for 39 yards.
Wow.
No touchdowns, 5 pass breakups. So it's pretty good. They tell me. there's some questions about his speed. Okay, whatever. I like production, and I like guys who can go up against the best. And he did that at LSU. And I love A.J. Terrell. We've talked about it. I think he's long. He's rangy. He got burned by Jamar Chase. Everyone got burned by Jamar Chase except for Cameron Dantzler. So that guy, and he comes from a winning program. We know John Gruden and Mike Mack will like that. It'll be a good culture fit. So those are two guys, probably even possible trade down, like as we talked about with the wide receivers, that they could pick up in the back end of the first round.
Yeah, and speaking of guys from championship programs, Alabama cornerback Trevon Diggs, Stephon Diggs' brother, kind of has that, you know, big, long, aggressive, all the physical traits that you want, a guy that, you know, can really get after it. All these guys that we're talking about maybe have little issues that they could fix or that coaches need to bring them along for. And that's what happens when you get into the later part of the first round. But I think his raw skill really intrigues me. I'm sure it would intrigue the Raiders, who like a lot of those big physical traits. He could be an option at 19. And we talked about it with that wide receivers podcast earlier in the week. I think that 19 spot, I think you use 12. You just use it, right? Yeah. But I think 19 could be a spot where if Mike Mayock can read the draft board a little bit, you could cheat down a little bit, pick up a pick, and still get your guy. So that's where we are. But is that the end, do you think, these guys that we're talking about, is that the end of guys that you could plug and play in there? You know, when it comes to those three guys that we mentioned, there's Utah's Jalen Johnson is out there. And there's a couple guys, right? Where do you stand in terms of guys that you could just insert in there? Have we talked about all of them, or are there still more?
No, I think Jalen Johnson's a guy who he actually went on a podcast recently, said he thinks the Raiders are going to draft him. So I think he's definitely got plug-and-play skill. He's long and rangy. Jeff Gladney at TCU. And a guy I wrote about today, Damon Arnett, Okuda's teammate at Ohio State, I think can be a day-one starter in press man coverage. He is – really, really good. He led the NCAA in passer rating against when targeted, even beating out Okuda. So that's another guy. There's probably those three, and that's the list.
And I always think it's interesting when you look at number two cornerbacks on a very good team, is that they get targeted a lot. So you see bigger numbers, but also that's what's going to happen to you in the pros. When you come in as a rookie, you're going to be tested. I think it's good to see. Yeah. Trevon is a great example of that from the first day forward. And if you can learn and adapt from those things, I think it's all positive. What's in the water in Columbus? I mean, not every Ohio State cornerback turns out. Gary Conley may be one. Eli Apple may be the other. But you look at it, it's Lattimore, it's Denzel Ward. We're talking about two Ohio State cornerbacks. It just seems like a long, proud, recent tradition of guys going in these early rounds. Maybe they're hit and miss, but that program just produces defensive backs like crazy.
Yeah, they just turn out talent. I don't know. I mean, probably something to do with getting the best high school players to start. So
yeah, absolutely.
They're starting from an advantage, but these two guys are unreal.
Okay, now let's kind of move on here as we move through the draft. The Raiders had 3 third round picks, I think 80 and 81, and then one a little bit down the road. From this story that you wrote, and I encourage people to go to NBCSportsBayArea.com and check it out. There's lots of good video within it. That's fun to watch as well. Is there a third round guy, whether he's plug and play or not, but is there a third round guy that you like, you think Raiders fans should keep their eye on?
Yeah. I mean, I'll start with Damon Arnette. As I just mentioned, that's, mm-hmm. he's kind of the Chase Claypool of the cornerbacks, where he can go between 35 and 90, mm-hmm. right? Depending on if you like him. But like I said, he's a great press man corner, the athletic, he's long, he's rangy. And he comes from a championship winning program. So I really like him, and I'm going to say Cameron Dantzler out of Mississippi State. He's probably a fourth round guy, honestly, mm-hmm. because the measurables aren't great. 4'6", 40, 30 and a half inch arms, which that's not good. Mm-hmm. But he, against LSU, who put up 1 million points on everyone, he gave up 2 catches for 13 yards and is probably the best cornerback in the SEC last year. So that's a guy that they could get maybe in the fourth round.
And I think that for what happened in last year's draft with the Raiders drafting a lot of guys from championship programs, and you don't want to overvalue one particular game tape or what have you, but you go back to that national title game at Levi Stadium between Clemson and Alabama, and you see championship programs clashing. The reason why I'm bringing this up is you're citing numbers and performances against other top programs. And I think that's something that the Raiders value. Yeah. Of course, they look at everything, the measurables, every game tape that they can get their hands on. But it's not just championship programs and how Clemson does, you know, against Vanderbilt, or Wake Forest or Georgia Tech or whatever. It's about when the big dogs clash. And I think those games are important. And that's why I think fans should pay attention to the numbers that you're talking about, because in those moments, do you stand up? Do you perform well in the clutch? Those are the types of things that I think translate well. Mm-hmm. I think that's why Trayvon Mullen was able to step in with the confidence that he can play in the NFL. He's used to playing in front of 100,000 people.
Right.
So I think all those things are important, you know. I wonder, as we get into the third round, maybe some of these later guys, do they need another kind of developmental type of guy? Because they have Isaiah Johnson, and they have some other needs where they could use to bring guys along for the future, especially because – the guys we mentioned, Johnson and Nixon, are going to be around under contract for 3 more years. Trayvon's under contract for 3 more, at least. Yeah. So do they need to add another guy to the mix? I guess they could, and then put somebody on top of it. Or do you think maybe their draft assets are better spent on other positions once we get deeper? Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, no, I think they need to draft one corner. Mm-hmm. And it should be relatively high, third round at the latest. And I think when I wrote the story, it was kind of, I'd give, you know, put that in mind. There were no fifth, sixth, seventh round guys in there. The Raiders don't need that.
Right.
They need someone who can start, or mm-hmm. at the very worst, will start next year.
Right.
That they don't need any projects.
Yeah. And because they already have some of those, and they, and you also have to think about who's in the draft room or who's on the draft Zoom, I guess. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but for who's making these decisions, is Mike Mayock adds a level of discipline and forward thinking to what the Raiders do. But John Gruden is, he's a coach, right? He wants to get the next team better, right? Because his job is to win the next game. He doesn't want maybe to think about a life where he has to go through his first season in Las Vegas without a legitimate quarterback option. That right. that doesn't seem to work. So sometimes you may see the Raiders go stronger for a glaring position of need, kind of like they did last year. Right. With all that said, I think the goal of free agency, right, is to get to a point where you don't have to absolutely force it in the draft, that you at least have options. And I think if you look at it, Eli Apple was going to be that option, right? Yeah. That fell apart. So to be too reliant on the draft is always a difficult thing. So the reason why I bring that up, as I bring up another screen on my computer, is do they need to look at a veteran cornerback down the line? Now, this probably could and should be after the NFL draft, right? The NFLPA just came out with numbers. The Demarius Randall deal is in. They have $8.8 million left. They need $9.4 to sign their draft class. But let's not forget, when you sign somebody making the minimum comes off, so it's not apples to apples, right?
Yeah.
My point is, do any of these names, and they'd have to be affordable, really excite you, or think maybe the Raiders need to go get somebody like a Dre Kirkpatrick, Aqib Talib, Brandon Carr, Tramon Williams, Darquez Dennard, anybody like that, kind of Daryl Worley still out there. Maybe he's your absolute backup plan. What do you think about going out and getting somebody like that?
Maybe. I mean, depending on how the draft goes, right? If they are really in love with CJ Henderson, and maybe someone reaches for him, right? Maybe someone grabs him at 10, and then they're sitting there and they're like, okay, well, get a wide receiver or maybe address another position, get the D tackle, and then they have to sign a corner. But right now, I wouldn't go in thinking, oh, well, you know, I will just sign Daryl Worley again, because that wasn't great.
Yeah. And when you look at that list, there's generally a reason why these guys are still on the market. And it's two reasons. One, they're not as good anymore. They're generally 30 plus. A lot of these names that are available are 30 or over. And it also means that they're not going to play for bargain basement deals, that they're kind of waiting for an opportunity, whether it's through injury or something, or a team gets through the draft and still needs somebody that they could get maybe the value out of one of their last contracts that they want, as opposed to just taking the minimum deal. So I think all those things kind of factor into it. I agree with you. I think if they go back to Worley at this stage, one, they've shown Daryl that they didn't value him enough to bring him back before. That's generally not a great look.
Yeah.
Aqib Talib is older. That name kind of intrigues me a little bit. I like trash talkers, and I think John Gruden likes veterans, as opposed to having to rely on somebody. So it is a wait and see, but I think they should keep their options open in terms of signing a veteran down the road.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of wraps up what was a pretty deep dive into the Raiders' cornerback need, the state of the position, and the options that they have available to them, and when they should take them. I think all these things, as we continue to go through it, guys, we're doing two positions a week. We did wide receiver Tuesday. We're doing DB today. And then we're going to go through some other needs. And at the end, we're going to mock this whole thing out and come up with a plan. So as I always say, subscribe to the YouTube channel, NBC Sports Bay Area. Get this, if you're listening to it on audio only, get it wherever you can find your podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button. 5-star review wouldn't hurt, right?
Yes, we appreciate it.
Yeah. Any of those are definitely awesome. And of course, head to the website. Read Josh's argument about why they should trade up to get Jeff Okuda. Look at the day two picks. Look at my first round options.
Day one picks, yeah.
Yeah. Lots of good stuff there at the website. And thank you guys so much for another awesome session. Josh, it's like a mental Rolodex. I don't know where these numbers come from. Do you have some sort of like teleprompter below that I can't see?
Right here.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. And we will talk to you again next week, breaking down another position. It's one that throws a football. And we're going to go into the quarterbacks next week. Thank you so much.
Raiders Insider Podcast on NBC Sports California.com.